my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
It's your boy, the coach from the WWE. Now, your boy Jeff comes to me and he says, you know what, my man Kevin, wrapping over 20 years of anchoring the news. Now, I was thinking about it. 20 years, I couldn't have done the news for 20 minutes, so I'm going to give you credit for that one. Now, as you go forward, this is such a difficult business to navigate, such a difficult business to be a part of. And if you're going to continue in it, great. If you're not, congratulations to you for lasting over two decades. Now, I also need to send a quick shout out. All the best to the guys from Stride Pro Wrestling. Feel me? So all of you guys, hang out. Wish Kevin the best. Have Kevin do his thing. And at the end of the day, whatever you decide to do, have fun at it. If you guys enjoy watching wrestling together, then watch wrestling together. Whatever it is, have fun, do your best, and be good to one another. Sounds like you have a lot of good friends, Kevin, down in your neck of the woods. All right, I'm your boy, the coach. Keep watching the WWE and keep watching my stuff. Kevin, I'm your boy, the coach. Till next time.
Hey friends, this is episode 240 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast, and you probably maybe hear the waves crashing, you may hear the seagulls flying by. I am, in fact, on vacation recording this from Orange Beach, Alabama, and just enjoying my post-news life. For those of you who do know and regularly listen, I, for the past 20 plus years, have spent my life as a TV news guy. More specifically, the last 15 years of my life, I have been on the air at WSIL-TV in Carterville, Illinois. And for most of my time here, the morning news anchor. So no more 1:30 wake-ups. No more weekends, no more holidays, none of that stuff. I am going to be living the life in the world of marketing now, going to Idea Creative Marketing in Carbondale, going to be doing some social media stuff and all kinds of other fun and exciting things going on. So that's kind of the backstory of why I'm at the beach right now. And since I am kind of celebrating or marking the end of my career in broadcast journalism, I thought I would share with you some clips through the years of different wrestling-related interviews that I have done, all thanks in part to having a job in broadcast TV news. I was able to land several interviews, and I'm excited to share some of these experiences with you all. And, of course, off the top there, before the show really got rolling, we heard from the coach, Jonathan Coachman, who just recently recorded a video message for me. Thanks to my friend Jeff Holtke, who, Jeff, you may remember from the episode, he and Brandon, his buddy Brandon, went to All in Chicago, and they were kind of the My 1-2-3 Cents correspondents, if you will, for that show. So Jeff made the arrangements for that. I really, really, truly do appreciate that. For making that happen. I'm going to start off with an interview that I did in Florence, Alabama. It was actually in Huntsville, Alabama, but I was working in Florence, Alabama, a tiny little TV station there, but WCW Thunder, I believe it was the second or third episode of Thunder ever that was being recorded and happening. Happened to be at the Von Braun Civic Center. I made contact over there, and they invited us over and actually hooked us up with some wrestlers to interview. So it was a pretty amazing experience. Bobby the Brain Heenan, Buff Bagwell, and Ray Traylor, also known better as the Big Boss Man, are the ones you're going to hear from. Now, there was a Goldberg interview involved with this, but it somehow got lost through the years. This was back in January of 1998 that this happened. And quick story, at the beginning of the night, we went and met up with the wrestlers, and then we were able to, or I thought we were able to get some B-roll, some video footage. So my photographer, Brian Barnett, Brian, if you're listening, shout out to you, man, went over to get some B-roll of them putting the ring together. And Doug Dillinger, who was the head of security, of course, for WCW, came over and just read us the riot act. They actually took the tape and erased it and copied over what Brian had shot. And I don't know if this is customary. Maybe they don't want you to see the magic or how the ring is put together. But this was also the night that we saw the ring get destroyed by the Giant during that main event. So I believe that may have been part of the circumstance of why that happened. So, but enjoy the rest of the show, and we'll listen to that clip, and we'll be right back.
They don't realize that the power of television lies in the fans. They think the power of television is the NWO. That's not so. It's with the fans. And I like being able to say that. I like being able to say, hey, little kid, I love being around you. They don't do that. They just try to run over everybody. And I'm not worked that way, and that's why I left them.
Rick and Scott Steiner, you going to continue teaming with them?
I'm out here watching their back tonight. I'm not actually scheduled for a match, but I'm out here watching their back. Anything can happen.
All right. Wrestling and of Bobby Heenan, I've watched you for years. Probably the greatest manager in wrestling history. What do you, how do you make the transition from wrestler to manager now to commentator here at WCW?
Well, I guess it's the same way Frank Gifford did it, or you know, a lot of the other guys. I broke my neck in 1983, and I just got out of the ring in 91, and I wrestled those years on and off. Mostly I managed. I was hurt, but I didn't have it done because I didn't want to take the time off. I didn't know it was that bad. I really didn't think I broke it. I thought I just pinched a nerve all those years. But that's one of the reasons I got out of it. But making the transition is easy because I knew the product. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like I couldn't do hockey.
Right.
I couldn't call hockey because you can't read the names like an eye chart. But in wrestling, I know what's going on. I know the stars. I know the referees. I know the fans, what they like, what they don't like, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun to do.
Any advice to somebody like myself who is a big fan of the sport, and someday I would like to be up there commentating, calling a Monday Nitro, a Thursday Night Thunder? What could I do to maybe prepare myself for a career in wrestling broadcasting?
If you want to really prepare for wrestling broadcasting, you're not going to learn wrestling broadcasting doing baseball, hockey, or anything else. You're going to have to learn doing wrestling. Mm-hmm. So watch it at home on TV and do play-by-play while you're doing it. Then when you shave in the morning, do your openings, do your closers. You're seeing yourself in the mirror. But do the play-by-play, do color, do it smart-alecky if you want, do it straight if you want, do it all different ways. That's how you'll learn.
All right.
Because that's the only way I know how to do it.
Great. Thank you very much.
Oh,
I appreciate it. Okay, you went from Marcus Alexander Bagwell a couple years ago.
Look, Kevin,
now
just
you're
ask me the question. Do you see I'm the busy man here? Can't you see that you just can't have a body like this by just sitting around interviewing all day? Just ask me the question.
All right, Buff the Stuff. How did you become Buff?
Real simple. Does that answer your question? I mean, does that answer your question? What would you call yourself if you had a body like this?
I'd call myself.
Would you call yourself John or Frank, or would you say you're Buff? I mean, come on. Look at that. That's the biggest arm in the world. Steiner ain't got nothing on me.
Who are you fighting tonight?
You know, I'm going to run down as many times as I can and beat up everybody I get a chance to beat up. That's what I'm going to do tonight.
All right, and the fans here in Huntsville, I don't know how they're going to react to you now that you're Buff.
Well,
what do you got to say about that?
It's really weird. It's sold out for one reason, because of the NWO. And they boo us, but they love us. And that's what I like. I'll look out, and they're booing us. But if you look really deep in their eye, you can see they think I am so cool. So it's like, I know they want to hate me, but then down deep, they just go going, you know what? That Buff is a cool guy, you know? So they can hate me all they want. As long as they keep buying those tickets in the very top row and come and see that, then it's okay.
I think you're cool, so.
Okay, brother. That's
all
that matters.
Me. All right.
You know what? I'm Buff, and I'm the Stuff.
All righty. We're back. And since I'm at the beach, why not drinking some beer here? This is called Death's Tar from Revolution Brewing, brewed in Chicago. This is a gift from one of my coworkers, Jeff Weinrich, producer Jeff on Twitter, a great beer aficionado. Not so much a wrestling fan, but I thought I'd give him a shout out anyway. Thank you, Jeff, for the beer. Woo! This is a stout aged bourbon barrel beer, and it's woo. It's got a pretty big ABV as well, 14.8%, so this is going to be fun for the rest of the show. But my next clip is still from Keeping in Vain with that Alabama experience, and Sid Vicious was wrestling in a little town called Sheffield there in the Shoals area, and the guy that owned the gym and was the promoter for the event, I had talked to a few times before about wrestling. Obviously, he was a big wrestling fan. He was an indie wrestler himself. Wade Gann was his name. And he made arrangements to bring Sid into the studio. And we did a studio interview at the end of the 6 o'clock newscast. Probably not been done many times before. Definitely the first time I'd ever done it. First set interview with the big man, Sid Vicious, and we took quite a bit of time. I really enjoyed the conversation. My co-anchor at the time, Mark Wallace, and I were both huge wrestling fans, so this just, we marked out big time. So take a listen to Big Sid Vicious and stick around.
You know, the thing is, preparation is everything. I prepared for this match 10 years ago. I mean, that sort of might sound a little corny to you, but I prepare every day for something like this. And you're right, I'm always in a different city every day, so I can't look at my opponent and say, okay, this is what his weakness is, this is their strengths. So I have to go in there with just what I know, and that's my strength, and that's just straight on.
Brute power.
Brute power, man. That's the only thing I have. And good looks.
How long have you been in the ring, Sid?
Well, I started my career, believe it or not, about 14 years ago, right here in this area of Florence with Continental Championship Wrestling. And it's just stretched on from there.
And what was the draw? What made you want to become a professional wrestler?
Money, women, blah, blah, blah. No. You know, believe it or not, it always starts off with something like that. And when I first started in wrestling, I was a real shy, laid-back type of guy. I didn't feel comfortable in front of cameras and stuff like that. But then I found out that the camera's really my best friend. And that's when I really, you know, you'll find out through life, too. You'll meet a lot of people. Like I met Dan Aykroyd in my life, a lot of people. When you meet them, they're always something totally different than what you thought they would be.
And I guess you had pretty good training at the table when you were young. I just don't understand how anybody could grow to be so big. You must have had some really good vitamins and take your Flintstones.
Well, I'll tell you what, just for example, yesterday, through the day, that's just part of my meals. I ate over 4 dozen eggs yesterday.
Wow.
That was till noon, you know. Then, of course, it takes in a lot of calories. I take in over 600 grams of protein a day. Very few carbohydrates to try to stay lean. But it does take a lot of food and a lot of, you know, good vitamins and stuff like that.
How do you have time to train? Do you do any weight training since you're on the road so much? I imagine it's hard to get a slot somewhere.
You'll be surprised. You know, 10 years ago, fitness wasn't anywhere aware like it is today. And you would come to Florence, and there was any gyms today in this area. I rode through here. I saw a Gold's Gym. I saw a Dungeon, and blah blah, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You didn't see that before. You're seeing that everywhere. So it's a little more easier now to find a place to get a good workout. And also, restaurants are being more accommodating to things like when I walk in, I say I don't want an omelet with just egg whites. Used to, huh? No, but now it's, you know, it's a little, it's not so bizarre to ask for something like
that. Now, when I moved to, we left Alabama back in 1999, and I went to West Lafayette, Indiana. And for 4 years that I was there, there were no wrestling events, nothing local at least, or at least nothing that was on my radar. So the wrestling drought really went into effect there. I was just watching it on TV. And it wasn't until we moved to Carterville, Illinois, where I met Chad, my buddy Chad, who has been on the show before. And he was a big wrestling fan. He directed the morning show. So when I eventually went to the mornings, it made for a great pairing, if you will. But Chad watched every week. He got the old TNA pay-per-views on Wednesday nights when he had to pay to watch their weekly program, and he invited me over with some other folks, and so that's where my introduction to TNA really started too. And along the way, you know, of course, with TNA, we talked about doing some kind of bringing some kind of, because there were a couple of small independent companies coming in and out. Chad and I went to a few shows, but we started talking to Ian Rotten, who of course is the owner of IWA Mid-South, and Chad kind of got that ball rolling, and then we talked with the Heron Civic Center and were able to bring in a show. It was called April Blood Showers. It happened on April 1st, 2005, and Billy Gunn was the big attraction. He and Tracy Smothers wrestled, but because of my position and I knew that I could ask for forgiveness instead of permission, I booked Billy Gunn to be on the show, and Chad thought it would be fun if I played him in a WWE video game. So we did that live on the air.
Before has a guest on News 3 this morning, had an action figure in his likeness, but today that's about to change. That's you.
That is me. I like that.
Billy Gunn joins us now. This is one of his many action figures, one of the many personas he portrayed over the last 13 years or 14 years or so.
Yeah.
And he joins us now. He will be in Heron tonight, wrestling Tracy Smothers. We've got Morning Mayhem here. We're going to have a little smackdown, a little battle going on. Obviously, I am in no physical condition to wrestle.
Oh, come on. Don't put yourself there. You're in mediocre condition.
That is a compliment, believe me. But Billy will be here tonight in Heron wrestling Tracy Smothers at the Heron Civic Center. That match is at 7:30 tonight. But first, we're going to take a little challenge here. Here I come to the ring. It's
Oh, goodness gracious. That's great. You look better.
Do you think
on
I should really get in there with a shirt and tie, though? I don't know.
That's all right. Don't worry. I'll rip it off of you.
So talk a little bit about...
Yeah, you look taller on TV.
And here, of course, is the Outlaw.
Oh, yeah. See, now that looks nothing like me. I look old in that, and I don't wear blue boots.
So let's...
What do you want to talk about?
Well, let's talk about tonight. You're going to be obviously taking on Tracy Smothers.
Yes.
Or...
Yes.
Tracy Smothers. Yeah. Talk a little bit about...
I forget your paperwork's not in front of you, right? You're looking for it, and you have a joystick in your hand.
That's right. It's like trying to wrestle and talk. So... Talk about the Heron match tonight.
It'll be fun. I mean, if people haven't ever seen a IWA wrestling event live, it's something a lot different than what you'd see on TV because you're more into it. The people are more into it. And you can just, like, if you had a bad day at work, wrestling's a perfect place to go to because you can just let it all go and just scream, yell, you know, whatever you want to do.
Right.
And it's a lot of fun.
Doors open tonight at 6:30. Bell time is 7:30. Mm-hmm. And lots of great guys will be there tonight. Let's do a little action here, though, if you don't care.
All right, get off my thing, because I know you're trying to get an advantage here. Like,
whoa, oh,
hello.
Whoa,
hello.
Is that fair? What are we doing here?
Look, I'm kicking you in your butt, by the way. Oh, don't worry, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, this could be deadly.
This is illegal. So, Billy, tonight, 7:30, Sabu will be there, too. This is your first appearance with IWA. Do you plan on... hanging out with these guys a little more? I know you've been on TNA the past couple of weeks.
I'm like trying to be half retired now, but this is a great company to work for, and they, you know, do me good, and it's a pleasure to work for them. You know, it's a pleasure that they just call me to work for them.
Now, obviously, you know, 13 years in the business, this is a tough business. You're on the road a lot, and the physical demands. How do you maintain and keep with the way things are going?
I just, you know, try to not get carried away on the road. You know, I like to try to eat good because, of course, I can eat better on the road because I have somebody else cooking for me. So, and then just going to the gym, and that was a knockout shot, by the way, just pretty much sent you out. So, just in case you didn't notice that. But it's just trying to stay in shape, you know, and because I know I'm not getting any younger. That was a second shot, by the way. It just knocked you out.
You want to go ahead and put me out of my misery here, and we can go ahead and do that. We're just about out of time here, and it's obvious that Billy's laying the smack on me, as it probably will do to Tracy Smothers tonight.
Yeah, I'll try.
All right. If you need a partner tonight, I'm in your corner, man. I got your back.
I'll take you up on that now.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks,
good to
man.
See you. Thanks
Thank
a lot
you.
For coming
Thanks
in.
For having me.
I had another fun experience in early 2010. The Show Me Center in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, was featuring the WWE, and The Miz was the United States champion at the time. This was before he obviously won the World Heavyweight title or Money in the Bank or any of that, or the WWE Championship, I guess. I was able to go over and interview him before the show, and obviously I didn't use all of the sound on the newscast, but man, we had a great conversation, and I walked away from that. I was already a fan. I walked away from that experience, though, an even bigger fan of The Miz.
People always ask, what can you expect? Expect the unexpected. And it's going to be a live wrestling show, but also there's going to be comedy acts. Not comedy acts, but, like, you know, people, there's going to be some fun. You know, we always tell the crowd, you can always interact. Boo who you hate, cheer who you want. you know, have fun with it. You know, it's a fun, family-filled adventure.
And you say boo who you hate, and you're kind of one of those guys now that people love to hate.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys that people love to hate. And the thing is, when I come out, I don't mind if you boo me. It's okay. You know, it's fine. I just use that as something to ignite my fire, to beat up the guy that you are cheering.
And who are you facing tonight?
Tonight, actually, I don't know who I'm facing, but it's some unlucky soul, and it'll probably be for the United States Championship, and they will probably lose. So, there you go.
And now tell me about, because a lot of folks know you, I've mentioned that I'm going to be talking to The Miz today, and they remember you from the real world. How did that transition go for you, going from one show to this, and, you know, your role on Tough Enough, and kind of being the success story of that whole program, because you're kind of the last man standing with that. Talk a little bit about that, and was there any pressure involved with that?
Oh my God, are you kidding me? It's funny. Even to this day, I haven't been on a reality show in 5 years, and people still remember me from The Real World, The Real World was Challenges, and to do that transition, to go from a reality show to the WWE, I was an outsider. And let me tell you something, nobody liked me. And it wasn't just out there in the audience, it was in the locker room as well. So to make that transition was just brutal. It was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And the pressure is still on. Each and every day that I am in the WWE, I have to work really hard to basically prove to the fans, prove to the locker room that I am here to stay, I'm a person to be reckoned with, and I demand respect. And the thing is, sometimes people don't respect me. But it's fine because I'm the United States Championship and I proved to everyone that I deserved it when I beat Kofi Kingston for it. So it's been a long, long journey, and to go from reality to the WWE has been one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my life.
That promo you cut the other night on Raw seemed to be coming from the heart. I'm guessing it was. You know, hearing this.
It's funny. Everyone has talked to me about that promo I did two Monday nights ago. And it was a true story. I mean, I really did. People were really out to get me, to make me quit, to try to get me fired. People would do whatever they possibly could. I mean, they kicked me out of the locker room. They made my life just terrible. And it was like I would get up every morning and think, man, I have to keep doing this. This is what I want. This is my dream. But people would always shut you down, and everyone would always tell you, you're not good enough, you're not going to do anything, you suck, you're terrible. And it wasn't just out there in the audience, it was out in here in the locker room. And it's, imagine, you know, everyone telling you, you're not good enough, you suck, you're terrible, we hate you, we don't want you here, you're an outsider, you're a reality star, go back to those reality shows. And having people tell you that, it was just every day, you know, you start almost believing it, until one day, you know, you just said, stop, enough. You know, you are good enough. You're better than everything everyone tells you you are. So I just kind of used my motivation, my confidence. My friends really helped me out through it, too, that weren't in the business. You know, they were like, dude, you're doing what you always dreamed of doing. This is your dream. No one ever said it was going to be easy to get the dream that you wanted to get. And so, yeah, that's kind of where it stood off. I mean, that was a real life promo that I kind of like... that I wanted to really say, and they were like, you want to say that? I was like, yes. They're like, okay.
Teaming with Morrison and winning the tag team titles, now being the U.S. champion, do you feel some validation now? That do they still view you as an outsider, do you think?
I think I'll always be viewed as an outsider, and now I've kind of come to terms with that and kind of embraced it and said, you know what? I want to be an outsider. I don't want to be one of those guys that are a professional wrestler. You know, I didn't want to be one of those guys wearing Zumba pants and a wife beater shirt with a fanny pack on. I wanted to be a new type of style of wrestling. I wanted to be a person that people can look up to and be like, you know what, that guy's a star. You know, he isn't one of those guys because he's the star out of everybody. And so being the outcast in WWE, I embrace it now.
I would imagine, too, life on the road never gets easier. You're in a different city almost every day. Talk a little bit about the grind of being on the road.
I mean, just talk about today. This last night, or this morning at 1 a.m., I flew from L.A. to St. Louis. got here with no sleep, drove to Cape, and now I'm here doing interviews all day until the show starts. So basically I'm going off with no sleep, and then tonight we drive to another city that I don't even know what city I'm going to tomorrow. I really don't. I'll find out by somebody, you know, oh, we're going here. Oh, okay. And then I know we go to Champaign, Illinois on Sunday, and then Monday we're in Columbus, Ohio. Then I'm back in L.A., and yeah, it's an ongoing just traveling. I don't know where I'm going to be the next week. I don't know where I'm going to be next week. You know, I just keep on going. I know Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday I'm going to be home. I'm really happy about sleeping in my bed, you know. I only get 3 days a week, sometimes not even that. Sometimes I'm not even home at all. But it's fun, you know. It's not every day you get to perform in front of thousands of people and have them either booing you or cheering you. But the fact is, they're there to see you. So we're there to put on a show.
What's been the highlight so far for you as a WWE superstar?
I have tons of highlights. I'm the Miz. But if I had to choose one, it would definitely be winning the United States Championship because it's a singles title. People always say, you know, Miz and Morrison. Morrison was the talent. I'd always hear that. And so winning my first singles title and showing people that, hey, I was the talent of that tag team. I was the reason we did so well. It's nice. It's validating.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add?
Just for the people in Cape, just always remember this. I'm the Miz, and I'm awesome.
In 2011, you know, a couple big things happening for me in the world of professional wrestling in 2011. That's when AAPW All-American Pro Wrestling really got its start for TV. It was going to be aired on WSIL-TV, and Chris Hagstrom, the executive producer and promoter, invited me to become the color commentator for the show, or one of the color commentators for the show. And to kind of launch everything off, we did a clip on the show, on the morning show, where I interviewed Chris and Heath Hatton, who had been on before and called me Kevin Cheeseburger and all that good stuff. But I during the course of the interview, were interrupted by a guy named Mike Masters. And some things happened during the course of that interview that then led to the groundwork for a match between Masters and myself down the road. But take a listen here as I interview my buddy Heath Hatton and my buddy Chris Hagstrom.
Welcome back, everyone. Wrestling fans will soon be able to get their fix if things go well for a new project at SIU. On Saturday, SIU Video Services will record a live wrestling show. Stars from AAPW will perform at 2 o'clock at WSIU Studio A. WSIU is the, of course, student-run TV station over there. And Chris Hagstrom is the director of video services for Saluki Sports. And Heath Hatton, a performer with AAPW, both here today. Chris, thanks for being here.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. We're really excited to be here. This whole project came about because it was a final for my students, and I teach an RT389 class with SIU Saluki Athletics, and we're excited to bring this final to them. And I brought my friend Heath Hatton here. I'm sure you're very familiar with Heath. Why don't you come on in?
It's so great to be back on WSIL with my good friends Chris, my good friend Kevin Hunsberger, not to be mistaken with my arch enemy Kevin Cheeseburger. The last time I was on here, I'll admit I got my butt kicked all over the studio by Curly and his side freak show, Curly Jr. Since then, I decided, you know what, I'm going to join him. We joined forces. We became the new number one contenders for the AAPW Tag Team Championships. We beat Mike Masters and his side freak show. One, two.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is supposed to be my interview. I'm the one that's supposed to be highlighted here. Whoa, whoa. Not you.
Whoa, 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 come on.
Come on, hey, wait. Who let this guy in?
This is how I do things. Well, Captain, you're not going to touch him. No. Mike,
hey,
sir.
Come on. That's the first time I've ever had to hit a guest like that, but you know what? He can't come in here and do that, right, guys?
Not at all. Kevin Hunsberger and Heath Hatton. Guys, be sure to come by. We've got AAPW this Saturday. Collision, it's going to be live this Saturday in Carbondale.
That's right. Head out to the WSIU studios. It's at 2 o'clock. We'll have more information at our website, WSILTV.com, as well as on Facebook. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Good job, Kevin.
AAPW.
And the final clip that I'm going to share with you guys is from an interview that same year, a little bit later in the summer, though,
when TNA was back or was in Southern Illinois for a base brawl event at Rent One Park, home of the Southern Illinois Miners. I knew some people over there, and I actually won a contest to manage Velvet Sky that night for the show. So that was really cool. I entered a video and whatnot through the ESPN radio station. But through the course of all of that, we were able to set up an interview with D'Lo Brown, who was working as an agent for TNA at the time. And we talked on the set and had a really good conversation. And I actually ran into D'Lo in Las Vegas this past fall when I was there for the Impact Wrestling tryout. And he remembered me, which was really cool. But it all started with this interview.
Tell me about Base Brawl. This is something very brand new for you guys. This is the first event kicking off the season.
Base Brawl is an interactive event from TNA Wrestling. It's taking our product to the fans and doing it in a unique environment, like a baseball stadium. It's the first of several events we'll do over the summer, and you know, at TNA we're really, really excited about it.
And you said interactive. Fans are going to have an opportunity to meet with some of the superstars.
Without a doubt, I believe we're the most interactive product on the planet. Fans will, from the minute they get out of their car, they'll hear the voice of Don West, and if you've heard his voice, you know it. he'll lead you right into steals and deals, and he'll wheel and deal, and then all of a sudden, you know, Jeremy Borash will bring you in, and you'll see the stars of TNA like Kurt Angle and Jeff Jarrett, and they'll be out signing autographs and taking pictures, and it's just a fun time overall.
And it's a great event to bring the family out to.
Yes, without a doubt. It's completely fan-friendly, kid-appropriate, age-appropriate, and, you know, we put on a very good product for our fans.
And fans who may not be familiar with the TNA product or Impact Wrestling product, who will they see tonight? Because you guys have, you know, rising stars in the company. You also have some established guys who have come in through the years. Jeff Jarrett, who founded the company, obviously.
Yes.
And then Kurt Angle, who is obviously training for another run at the Olympics.
Amazing. Kurt Angle, at 40-something years old, is going for another Olympic run. But you'll see, like you said, Jeff Jarrett. You'll see the phenomenal AJ Styles. Tommy Dreamer, who is an innovator of violence. Bully Ray Dudley, Kazarian, you'll see Velvet Sky, one of my favorites. And just the list goes on and on. I mean, it just bring the family, bring the friends, give TNA Wrestling, Impact Wrestling just one shot, and I guarantee you won't go back.
And you guys do, you know, you're obviously here early to kind of promote the event.
Mm-hmm.
You guys do a lot of travel, and you're going to be on the road heading to Memphis and then to Orlando for a weekend pay-per-view. Talk about life on the road.
Life on the road is difficult. I mean, I flew into Nashville 2 days ago, then drove up from Nashville last night here in Marion tonight, then on to Memphis, like you said, then back down to Orlando. Some of the stars are going to Mexico next week, and then it keeps going. We travel about 120, 30 days a year, and put on 120 events a year, so it's pretty hectic schedule.
And I am a huge wrestling fan. I think our viewers know that. I got to ask you, though, when people use the F word,
mm-hmm,
fake,
yes,
it bothers me, and I know it, but it bothers you guys. What's your response when someone calls it fake?
When someone calls it fake, I tell you this. Ask my chiropractor, ask my wife, ask my doctor. It is not fake. My body, I'm 40 years old, but my body is probably about a 60-year-old guy. It is not ballet. We hit each other. Guys get hurt, unfortunately. It is real as it possibly can be without insulting anybody's intelligence. It is a physical event.
Very physical, and folks can check it out tonight. It is the Base Brawl event. Bell time, 7:30. If you have the tickets to get there early, though, you can do the meet and greet. I believe that starts at 6:30 tonight. It is out at Rent One Park, and tickets are still available. And I actually will be a guest manager out there tonight, so that'll be a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, I've heard you had a little inkling for Velvet Sky. I don't know. I'm going to talk to her when I get back to the arena there.
I hope my wife's not watching right now. All right. Thank you so much, D'Lo Brown.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you.
Pleasure to meet you. Appreciate it.
Well, friends, that is it. My 21-plus years in the world of TV news, and I just wanted to share some of the wrestling side of things, because without obviously being in the position I was in, I don't think a lot of these interviews or opportunities would have come about. I certainly hope to have built and established some relationships that I will continue to be able to do wrestling-related interviews for the podcast, and you never know what is going to be next for myself or for anyone else out there, for that matter. So For those of you who are listening for the first time, thanks. If you've been back before, I appreciate it. Be sure to share and let others know about My 123 Cents, the podcast, the YouTube channel, the blog, and all that as well, right here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. And be sure to support all those other fine shows here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, including Chad Smart and Positive Cynicism, the Five Heart Podcast with Greg Mahochko, and Nerd United with Greg Mahochko and Mike Luther. And check out that store as well on the jitterymonkey.com website and prowrestlingtees.com/my123cents and pick up some wrestling from some My 123 Cents swag, that is. So everyone, again, thanks for listening, and I'm checking out right here at the beach. We'll talk again soon.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.